like a what seems to be the 12-month vacation. I don't know how long it's been. 4 weeks, 5 weeks. Either way, it's been far too long, but we are back. Welcome to Inside the Game, episode 83, September 17, 2013. And everyone remember this day as either the day before the iOS 7 release or the day that evil geniuses took on the apocalypse. It's happening right now in WCS. We'll talk about that later. And, of course, that's why we don't have Suppy today. But over on the Terran side, we've got Xenocider making a return again, a second time on the show. What's up, Weevil? How's it going?
Howdy.
Good to have you back. And, of course, Mr. In Control, as always. Hello, buddy. How you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm doing good. It seems like a lot has happened since we've last been on air. We're going to not necessarily cover all of it, but we'll be covering a fair amount tonight. Fair amount.
We'll do the best we can.
Yeah, we will. We will. And I think we'll even have some time for open phones tonight. So, Goatlust, I know you've probably been like, got a little vice, you know, a little pull on your arm. You want to inject that question inside the game tonight, you're going to be able to do that. So, and we've got a little bit of, Terran flavor coming with Xenocider joining us again. We liked him enough that we said, hey, let's have him back on again. So, thank you again, Xenocider. All right, before we get into StarCraft, Jeff, I know you went to Seattle. You had some exciting non-StarCraft stuff going on. Like, tell me about that. What went on there?
Well, it was kind of a fun hybrid it ended up being. I'm a huge Seattle Seahawks fan. It's an NFL team for perhaps... I was about to say European nerds that don't know that, but actually with the StarCraft podcast, there's a good chance there's a lot of you guys that don't know about that either that are American. But I was born and raised in Seattle, so I was kind of raised with my parents very much so excited about seasons and their practices, and they'd go out and watch them and the Mariners and the Sonics back when those guys freaking existed. So I can't help but to have it in my blood, and of course I played a whole bunch. So when the Seahawks are starting to become the team they are now, which is like one of the best in the entire NFL, I get really hyped about it. So I actually got a trip to go see them back in July. And I asked my team, and I checked my schedule, and everything seemed good. And then a couple weeks later, Artos is like, so are you excited for the 15th? And I was like, heck yeah, Seahawks are going to be great. And he's like, no, man. I mean, the SEC-12 finals. And I was like, oh, shit. So I've known for a while that I couldn't end up going to that, which sucks because I spent too much money on these tickets and this trip was all planned out and there's other people involved and stuff too, so I can't just very well tell them no.
Sure.
So I did it. I saw my mom for the first time since PAX Prime, which is the first time in 9 months. And then I got to see my grandparents and some family friends and stuff like that. But the game was amazing. And I guess the reason I said it ended up being a bit of a hybrid was because during the game, the Seattle Seahawks Twitter actually tweeted at me a few times, and they made references to pylons and StarCraft stuff, which was, I don't know, it brought like a little tear to my eye because I was so proud of my team and I was so proud of my city that you know, I mean, at the base of it, obviously, it's just, you know, one of the guys that manages the Twitter is a gamer and he knows about these things, but
that's
official
awesome
fucking
to me.
Tweets.
Yeah, that's awesome, right? I mean,
pretty cool.
No one's really standing over them with an iron, you know, an iron mallet or something. They are just kind of letting them do their own thing, and the personality definitely comes out. Someone in chat tweeted that he also tweeted Dendy during that time during TI3 with another Seahawks comment. But, yeah, I mean, obviously a guy that is in the know, but that's awesome.
And it's just really cool because, you know, obviously that's not like – I haven't heard of that from other teams and stuff like that. So the fact that my hometown city, their team is plugged into gaming is really, really cool to me. So it was a great trip. Thanks for asking about it. I had a lot of fun.
Right on. What about you, Weevil? Anything like not StarCraft happen in your life? You know, this is usually the time where we educate suppies. Like, I watched The Goonies. It was great, and we're like,
it's a great movie.
You've never seen The Goonies. You suck, Suppy. So anything going on in your life not StarCraft-related you want to talk about?
You know, I actually find it weird because my life, I didn't realize how weird it was, but basically every single day I run to the car to get home like 2 minutes faster so I can start laddering that much quicker and – or actually do my work that much quicker, and then later subsequently after. So
hey, you got something to report, man. You tweeted some funny shit the other day. Your mom lowered the bandwidth at your house.
Oh my God. Oh, dude, I don't even understand. Like, we have this agreement in my house. It's like, as long as I have straight A's, like, my parents won't take away my stuff. But then, like, one day I come home and I, like, turn on my stream and say, whoa, like, 80% frames drop. Like, what's going on? And then, like, I go down to my mom and then she's just like, Lebo, I don't want you to play games anymore. So I lowered the bandwidth. I was like,
that's clever shit, but you gotta be worried about your mom, man.
I know.
That's next level stuff. My mom, when she wanted me to stop playing games, she went into the parental code on the computer and made the word fuck disconnect me.
Really?
So our moms are diabolical. Yeah, and that shit worked. That was back in Brood War when the kids found out if they wanted a free ladder game against me, all they had to do was say the fucking F word and I'd just drop out.
That's actually crazy. See, I grew up in a period where my parents didn't know shit. So I was the one that controlled it all. It'd be like, they had no idea. They didn't know this from that on the computer, and it was so easy to run circles around them. And, they eventually did, you know, learn, but I don't know. I'm still the go-to guy. I never had to deal with such. My kid, though. My kid will have to deal with that.
Yeah, he's got to deal with it. Give me a break.
Hey, you know what? It will be the best punishment in the world in control. It'll just be like, I'm going in and I'm going to block your MAC address to every single device you have. Just blink, blink, blink. It'll be like off the grid for mini wheat. It'll be awesome. It'll be awesome. All right, let's talk about StarCraft.
And with smart TVs, you could probably even turn off the TV at that point in time, too. Like 10 years down the road.
Yeah. It's going to happen.
It's going to get clever.
All right. So we're going to start off with a few like little topics, and then we'll move on to WCS and, of course, DreamHack, which just took place. And the first one is what was interesting because it was posted on Reddit, right? And the way it was posted on Reddit, I think it was just as simple as, you know, Blizzard looking for a new esports position. And when I clicked on it, I was actually a bit surprised because I thought there already was a director of global esports. But apparently, I was wrong. So there's listing. What?
I thought Kim Fan was like the esports.
See, so did I. But I wonder if global esports has more to do. And actually, I mean, admittedly, I didn't read, like, all the thing, but... okay, so global community operations. So maybe there's, like, a difference between, you know, say, handling things for WCS and then community efforts and whatnot outside of that. I mean, it does say global community operations, community contact, public relations, event, marketing, web, and production. Oh, those are the different teams.
It also mentions Hearthstone. I think it's a different position, for sure.
Yeah.
And people are asking why not promote from within, and that's an interesting question always, too, because it's like, from our perspective, it seems like that would be an easy-peasy thing to do, but for Blizzard, maybe Kim Fan's plate is completely full, and in her position, she has other responsibilities as well. So I got excited when I saw it, because I was looking at the requirements, and I was like, actually, that kind of fits me for everything, and except for, I guess, like strictly management experience. Like, I could do that... I could do that fucking, like, I could do some wizardry with wordage and be like, bro, actually, technically,
technically, could.
I kind of managed some things a few times. But, you know, a lot of people talk about how amazing it is to work for Blizzard, and the older you get, it gets a little bit attractive that way. So I'm going to be brutally honest. This is actually what happened. I was like, wow, that looks really cool. I should check it out. Clicked on the link, saw that they wanted a cover letter and, like, this really detailed resume, and was like, nope. Way too fucking lazy for that. If they want to call me up and we'll talk about it, yeah, I guess so. But I'm way too lazy for a cover letter. Jesus.
This is pretty good. Pluses. Experience in sports broadcasting. Experience in professional sports league development and or management. That's kind of interesting.
Huh. Yeah. And then I also find the thread on Reddit's really funny, too, because then they start naming people. The community starts naming people that they think would be really good for the job. And a lot of people said Day 9. And if I had enough milk around me to spew out and laugh and just have it come out of my nose, I would. It's not that Day 9's not good for the position. If Day 9 was jobless and had free time on his hand or was looking to do something like that, yeah, he'd be perfect. He's got all the education, he's got all the experience. He would be amazing. But it's still, it's so weird to me that this community that, that sees Day 9 on a regular basis would be like, that anyone, anyone in a million years would be like, you know, he's got like 30 people on his staff. Well, not 30, probably like 8 or whatever. He's got people on his staff. He's pretty busy, and by pretty busy, I mean I think every 4 or 5 months he takes a weekend off. And I don't think he's in financial trouble. And by not in financial trouble, I mean he's probably making boatloads of cash. He should take this job. He should quit everything he's built his entire life up until this point. Just quit it and go manage esports globally. That was really... It's funny to me that people think that way. And then the other name they mentioned, too, is Too Good. And that name, for very different reasons, is making me laugh. Too Good's a close personal friend of mine, but it's like, guys, James would take the job, quit in a week out of boredom, and say it's, and burn so many bridges in the process that, like, he would be out of the business. He'd be out of the industry.
Yeah.
He's not the kind of guy for that job.
Goatlust, on the other hand, you know, he's
sure.
He's been on almost every episode of Inside the Game. He's got some experience there. I think I throw Goatlust in the Goatlust. Go do your thing. Make it happen.
Someone will take. I mean, like if Kim Rahm is available, it would have been like a Kim Rahm. I'm guessing the person ends up taking the position as someone we don't know. We, you know,
yeah.
Just somebody that's working behind the scenes, this and that for ESL, or this and that for MLG, or this and that for something else, and they'll go grab the job, and hopefully they'll do a good job.
Well, let's hope a good person does get up in there. So let's
Hearthstone
talk...
Esports, though, by the way. Or no, never mind. It's All-Star. I kept saying All-Star or Hearthstone, but it's All-Stars that they're talking about.
I could see Hearthstone having a future, though.
Yeah.
All right, good. All right. We've got some retirements, gentlemen, including a breaking news retirement. But before we get to the breaking news, and then there's one additional piece of news, it's at least better than people retiring. I know for you, Jeff, this probably rings loudly because I know that these are players that you watched and I'm sure admired. And as the sort of dawn of Brood War took over and created in your world, at least, but Jangbi and Bisu retire, yeah. And we start to see a few more of the old guard taking an exit. But I want to hear both your guys' thoughts and, you know, what you think.
Jangbi for me is the saddest one. As much as Bisu is a part of like the history of Brood War, Jangbi was showing severe promise. Like he was starting to become the Jangbi of Brood War that he could have translated those kind of results and that kind of skill to StarCraft II, and then just seemingly out of nowhere was done. So that was really weird to me and very unfortunate. And he just kind of came out and said, "Yeah, I don't really enjoy it. I'm sorry. Like, I did this because that's the natural progression of my job, and I love StarCraft, but StarCraft II is not Brood War, and I'm kind of done." And that sucks. It's not sky is falling kind of thing. It's just it should be expected that the Brood War pro gamers, the guys that spent 12, 14 hours on that game every single day, coming over to this less structured, build yourself from the ground up, you're not really not as known, you're not getting paid the same, like everything gets kind of turned around. That's very jarring and hard on a lot of these pro gamers, and they look at StarCraft 2, and especially in Korea, it's not as successful as Brood War was. Brood War in Korea was everywhere. It was fucking everything. You could tell your grandparents you played Brood War, and they knew what you were talking about. And StarCraft 2 didn't grab it the way that Brood War did, so that's necessary. Or not necessary, but understandable. And then Bisu, of course, didn't ever have the success in StarCraft 2 that he even, not even close to what he had in Brood War.
Yeah.
And he wasn't showing as much promise, but he was getting better, too. That was the kind of sad part as well. Not on Jangbi level of ascension, but, like, he was terrible coming into StarCraft 2. He even played Terran for a while, and then actually towards the end of that, he was starting to actually take some wins in Pro League and play pretty cool. And he's like, nah, I'm done. I'm retired.
Zeno, you have any thoughts on these players retiring? Either reasoning or just reaction?
As far as I see it, like in Jangbi's case, he was really good. He was in Code S and he retired. But to me, that's just kind of like majoring into business and then like finding out you can make like 120K per year, but then realizing that you just don't like business. So even though, you know, you're doing well or whatever, you have the potential to do well, you still end up quitting anyways. So it's sad, but if that's what he wants to do, then so be it. I honestly can't really comment on like Bisou and people like that because I or like
you're
I was
poor.
Like, I was you're yeah, I was like a John. Fetus when Brood War was.
Fair enough. I mean, some people look at this and they really celebrate in a way. That's a weird word to use, but like to celebrate their accomplishments and the fact that, hey, at least they gave it a shot. In some cases, it worked out. In other cases, they didn't. On the other hand, you've got folks that are like, this is just showing the downfall of StarCraft. But you're also talking about guys that went through, you know, the pinnacle, the absolute top of Brood War. And while we've seen some players stay and have success, we could probably point to Flash and Jadong. We've also had, say, Boxer and Yellow have, you know, quick departures out as well. So, I mean, do you think there's any warrant to the, oh, well, this is truly, like, starting to show the demise of the game, or do you think this is natural progression? Like, for a game like StarCraft that's been around, that you actually have people retiring, and not just guys that are like, well, I played for 2 months, and now I'm hanging up my hat. It's like, these are guys that played for years. These are guys that, you know, it was just looking at this. I mean, the amount of titles Bisou won between 2006 and 2011 is just absolutely ridiculous. So what do you think about those sort of polar opposites that people are presenting?
You know, it's interesting. The people that take the extreme, obviously, and say, oh, sign of a game dead, you know, nothing to see here, and they take it as a super negative thing. It's not that. But there is something to be said for what's happening, because I don't think it's a sign of the sky falling. But what I would tell you is that if Kespa would have transitioned to StarCraft II, like, let's say in 2010, where there was so many tournaments, so many viewers, and money was just flying around, people called it the bubble. In that scenario, I don't think these guys retire, because they're smart enough to look around and be like, well, maybe I don't enjoy this game as much as I used to, but, you know, like MC, I'm going to sit around and make my $500,000 flying to tournaments and winning stuff and getting endorsements, and when I stream, I'll have, you know, 12,000, 15,000 people watch me. Like, I'll enjoy that. That was 2010. 2013 and going on to 2014, things are ironclad. People said they wanted top-notch competition. Well, congratulations, because that's exactly what you got. WCS globally has made it so that, if anything, you can, you know, subjectively, we can look at this and say, well, you're watching top-notch StarCraft on a pretty regular basis. There's a mixture of Koreans and the very top-notch non-Koreans. No jobbers are squeaking into these positions where they're getting absolutely trounced on stage and in front of gigantic audiences, because they don't make it that far anymore. It's only the absolute best. So in that scenario, as a Korean, where there's fewer opportunities and harder competition, the overall payout is less. And if you're at the very tip-top tier, you're actually hoarding a lot of the prize money as well. So Jangbi, Bisou, S2 announces his retirement as well. And there's factors that contribute to it, too. You know, they talk about military service. They talk about wanting to try out other things. A big part of that are those things. But the other part of it, too, let's not make any mistake, is that they're not getting paid what they were in Brood War and aren't getting paid what they could have been in 2010 when things were easier and the money was good for a Korean. So I think it's the climate. It definitely needs to be spoken for as well.
Sure. All of this was pretty much inevitable. Like, we essentially forced everybody out of Brood War, and this pretty much had to happen sooner or later. Some people are just going to leave, and then some people are going to stay, of course. But obviously, I think that it could have been done, or the transition from Brood War to StarCraft II could have been done multiple ways. Maybe have some people transition and then have some other people don't. I don't know. Try that. But it's hard to say, really. I remember that Kespa was being kind of complicated in switching to...
Well, I mean, remember we had the league that was like StarCraft, it was Brood War and StarCraft combined when it first started. And that was like so fucking weird.
Yeah.
It was so awkward. But yeah, I mean, I agree. And hindsight's 20/20 in that regard. But that probably was, since it was such a... It was such a sharp thing to happen, like a sharp event. It's like, okay, that's it. Now, you know, move on. It certainly must have had some effect. Now, in other news, unfortunately, the retirements don't stop there. It's recently posted via Wax Angel source Invin that Light and Flying from Woonjin Stars have also announced their retirement. Light stating that military service waited to his decision. I'm guessing that meant he had like a choice on when to take it, and it was probably maybe a better now than later type choice. And then Flying said he was not considering his military service immediately, but he planned to study English. Now, these two aren't necessarily, I mean, in terms of like even where things are with StarCraft II, you know, it's don't have necessarily the same weight, I guess, but still, you know, more.
They're
players.
Not as big, but Flying was a Code S Protoss, right. And he was making some dents. He was definitely a guy that had promise. And for me, it's always just the timing of it that's actually the big. I mean, not necessarily the bigger thing. That's not really fair to say to these guys. Like Light, gigantic Brood War talent, one of the best Terrans to come out of, especially the later stages of Brood War gameplay. Had a lot of promise. Didn't really translate in StarCraft II, but of course, was still very good. Just not on that tournament winning caliber yet that he was at least close to in Brood War. And then Flying, like I said, he was one of the cheesiest Protosses you could ever encounter, but also successful and very good at what he did. So it's kind of sad to see them both go, but I guess what I'm trying to say, and I don't want to say it in an offensive way, but it's more the timing that's unfortunate. Whenever these guys announce their retirements anywhere near each other, like Light, you know, Flying, but then also S2, also several other guys, and then it's only a month ago or so that it was Jang B and Bisu. That's when it feeds into this terrible rhetoric that StarCraft II is afflicted by right now, which is like, the game's dead, that's it.
Yeah.
Close the doors. And it's not dead. It really is not. And that's not me being, like, every time I say this too, people are like, oh, you're just saying that because it's your job. And I'm like, well, yes, it is, but also it's just not dead. It simply is not. We have beautiful tournaments. I'm sitting here watching the WCS stream with, what is it, 20-some-odd thousand people. I mean, that's pretty good for a round of 32 online competition. And I don't need to go through the numbers, but there's plenty of people watching, more tournaments coming out, great talent coming up. But there's so much negativity swirling around that when someone retires, it's very often less so about like, hey, good luck in the future. You were awesome. We're going to be really sad to miss your games. And more about, hey, guys, thanks for that. Can we stop talking about the player now and more get to the like the real issue, which is that StarCraft's dead at the end of the year? It's not. It's going to go on for 5-6 more years of this kind of content. And I wish people got off the story of the game's dead.
Well, let me just reinforce those guys, you know, position a little bit more. Beastie Cute has also retired as well.
Yeah.
I'm sure that everyone, at least in StarCraft II, has heard his name. But in the good news that comes out of this, Lebo actually mentioned prior to the show beginning that I Love OOV, which is certainly a Brood War name I'm sure many people will remember and recall, that he's coming back as a coach for SKT. Lebo, do you have any other information on that, or where you heard that? Or
It's all in Korean, I think, so I'm not sure, but right after his military service, I think he's coming back. So, it says he's coming back as a coach on the upcoming Korean holiday.
There you go.
September
19th. He's one of the original Sons of Boxer, and he took that tutelage and went and became one of the absolute best Terrans to ever play the game. So exciting.
But I do assume, like, for the StarCraft team, right?
I would imagine.
Okay.
That'd be a kick to the junk, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd be.
No, I'm gonna come coach.
Okay, I found. I found at least. May take this translation for what it's worth, but it looks like it summarized some of the points. His mind was changed for the love of the game. I really wanted to play the game. I assume he means StarCraft 2, so I returned as playing coach. Says I Love OOV. However, his current shape is not as cutting edge as it was before. Current skill ability is the lowest on the team. Wrist still hurts when he plays more than 25 games in a day.
Which is a lot.
This is 4 years ago. I'm looking. Jesus Christ.
What are you doing, Weed?
I don't know. Damn, I just assumed it. Come on, Google. I thought I was smart. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. And then I look and date fail. Sorry, guys. I don't have any other information on that. Date fail. And moving on. What are you doing? Lone Star Clash 3. Early 2004. Many people have been asking.
2014. We're still in the future. We come on now.
Jesus Christ, man. I never was good with those years, was I? It never was too good. 2014 is what I meant to say, and you most certainly heard. And I mean, Lone Star Clash is known as one of the sort of grassroots, solid North American effort, brought back by the Rosen brothers and all of their efforts. And, you know, I think this is good news. We've been talking a lot about how WCS has had an effect on some of the other events that are not necessarily WCS related. We hadn't necessarily heard anything on some of the other upcoming events that we would normally hear. So this is good that at least they're saying, hey, it's happening 2014 in the future. That's, you know, when we're going to do this. But I know that you have been involved in the past, right? You commentated a couple, right?
I was their first flown-out commentator.
That's
right. The second one that they ever did. And it was awesome. They're an amazing, passionate group of people based out of a CSL organization. But now they've rebranded to be global and to detach themselves from kind of the limitations of being associated with just being a CSL organization. And they're one of the awesome success stories. They've been a little bit quiet just because, you know, again, it is grassroots, like you said. The Rosens have been working with Red Bull to put on some of their events, and they've definitely been involved in esports and StarCraft II, more specifically, for the year. But an actual branded, I think they still call themselves TESPA, has not happened. And for them to announce early 2014 is exciting. I'm not going to block off, you know, the first quarter of 2014 and just have a heart attack waiting for it. But I'm excited to see where they could go and where they could grow this, because their last event was fantastic. Certainly not on an MLG or, you know, NESL level production, but they're growing there. And like I said, it's just a cool story because it came from nothing. It came from a bunch of guys' passion,
right?
Basically.
Yeah, I mean, I just have to echo that. That's one of the coolest things. You know, we've said even here on the show before, you know, how do I get into it? I remember meeting the Rosens at a bench MLG. And for those of you that know what that is, a bench MLG was like pre-chairs when they literally had a few benches set up. And I remember meeting two incredibly enthusiastic twins who obviously loved the game and what was going on. And they, you know, they said right then and there, like, we're working hard to make things happen. And there's no doubt in my mind, these guys woke up day after day, collaborated efforts with themselves, with each other and other people, and they made something happen. And it's just, I love examples like this of individuals who are just like, well, fuck it. You know, let's do it. We're going to school for some of the stuff. Like, it's great experience for them. We get to give back to the community. The fact that now they're 3 years old practically, and they're, you know, moving on and they're continuing. It's a sign of success. And I just love stories where they did make something out of nothing.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, Lebo. Any final comments on that?
I just remember Lone Star had like a sick series of games with Stefano and Polt, so they were a really good tournament.
Yeah, definitely memorable ones. All right, let's talk WCS. Let's start with WCS Korea. And we've, gosh, it's like, let me bring the stats. So we are now officially into round of 16, if I'm not mistaken. It starts next week, right? Yeah, we're done with the round of 32. So we know everyone who is moving on. There were most certainly some upsets. There were also, I think, some definitely I expected this to happen. But since about August 28th, the groups have been running. And most recently, we've had G and H last week that saw Rain and Kongho move through and Super and So, but eliminating Bomber and Yonghwa also True and Song Duri. But what have you guys been keeping up at all with Korea?
I've seen a few. Go ahead, Lebo.
Yeah, I've also seen almost all of the Terran games. I'd rather not comment on the Zerg and Protoss games, but Dongrengu versus Innovation was really, really nice to watch, really back and forth series. Flash did really well here in his Group E, which is like really weird because he like completely kind of like bombed out of DreamHack. So like after watching his Group E performance, I was kind of expecting him to at least take top four at DreamHack, but he did not end up doing so. And yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably say some similar things over on the Innovation side. I mean, not only Group F, but just his domination in GSTL as well. He's 5-0 currently in those matchups. And I'm not sure if it's just the comfort of environment, but we have seen some, CODES or WCS Korea players that have most certainly performed better in the studios than they have on the road. I think that those are the two probably most prominent examples. Jeff, from you, any particular games that you'd suggest or found any results you found interesting?
Not super in particular. It's just, for me, what's been really fun with watching WCS KR right now is that I went into it with the belief that I could easily pick who's going to win and this should, it should just go this way or that way. And actually it's been pretty, not super upset heavy necessarily, but very uneven result wise, which is actually really nice. It's been very competitive, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So I've enjoyed it that way. And I like the new maps. We've seen some, there's been a lot of can rushes actually, which is not necessarily great to see, but like interesting, I guess. And I just like seeing how they play on the new maps, and that's been fun.
I also want to say right now, I think a big problem with Innovation and Flash is, especially Flash, they're really, really standardized players. So, like, if you want, like, they don't even need to play on barcodes on Korean server because it doesn't matter if you know their build order, they're just going to execute it. They're going to play exactly what you expect, and they're probably still going to win with it. But right now in TVT, there's just so many build orders. It's such a volatile matchup right now. And I feel like that's a big cause of Innovation and Flash's kind of lacking results. Like we've seen Innovation go like 2-15 in his TVTs recently or something really, really bad like that. So, yeah.
Well, that takes us into the next part because the round of 16, it's coming up next week. In fact, let me just look at my calendar real quick. Is that right? Yeah, so it starts on Monday of next week. So by inside the game next week, we should have only one of the groups will be played. That'll be Sulky, Sleep, Deer, and DRG. But any of these other groups, Rain, Keen, SOS, Trap, Innovation, Super, Jokji, and So, and then Maru, Parting, Flash, and Kongho, I'd probably have to vote Group D as the group that I would not want to participate in because it would be very
scary.
Oh, that's
one you'd bow out of?
Yeah, I'd say, okay, guys, it was nice. I'm going to go play with these Nerf bats over here.
Group A and B, Wheat's like, I'd try my hand. Group D, I don't want anything to do with that one. That one's tough.
I mean, you put it in the perspective that way, and I sound like a dumbass, but yeah, I mean... okay, how about this? I wouldn't want to. I think Group D will be the one that I will enjoy watching the most. And I would run away from.
Sure. I kind of like that a lot of the big Protoss names are a little bit spread out. I like Rain. I mean, I know Rain's in the same group as SOS, I believe.
Yes.
Rain and Parting are separated. So much for the same. Like, Lebo just got done saying he likes to watch the Terran games. Make no mistake, I like to watch the Protoss games. That's... a big part of the reason why I would tune into WCSKR. So I'm excited for that. But honestly, like you, I guess you at least inferred upon, they are like these 16 players are phenomenal. They're as they always are, but it's just kind of fun to always take a minute and look at that and go, damn, I'm really excited about that. And cool storylines like DRG kind of coming back. Then you have to beat Innovation to get here too, which was right. He beat Innovation, I believe.
Yeah. Yep, yeah, he
Yep. That's very much so. That was unexpected. I mean, there's going to be some hipster, well, not necessarily hipster, but some old school DRG fans that are like, no, I knew he could do it. But Innovations TVZ is just disgusting, especially, I feel like, post-mid-game. Mid-game and onward, it looks just unbeatable. So it'll be exciting to see if DRG can keep the hope alive, keep the dream going.
Is it weird to see Sleep in there? Just yes. Because I thought he fell off the map. I was wondering if maybe the world was not round and he just walked right off, because we really haven't seen anything from him.
Well, he's been in the Azubu lineups for GSTL, but to your point, even then he hasn't been turning heads with like three or four kill, you know, rounds. And I've seen his name jump in and out of WCS runs for a while now. It's nice to see him make it into the top 16, and it's fun because he's been around for a while. This is one of those Zergs that originally came over and was on some NA teams for a while. I mean, you mentioned Tespa. I played him at a Tespa tournament, for how weird that is. And yet here he is now in the top 16. So the expectation is that he doesn't make it out of his group, because certainly he's the underrated, untested guy. But it's really cool that he's even made it this far.
All right. Any final comments on WCS Korea, which resumes on Monday with the first group of the round of 16? Forever hold your peace. No. Okay.
Holding the pieces.
Holding. WCS EU Season 3 has kicked off as well, back in the studio. One of my favorites to watch, just because it's like at the perfect time every day for me. Love those guys and what they're doing. We're at the tail end of the round of 32 now. We have seen Group A through G and kind of going through. And tomorrow we actually have MC, Stardust, Kaz, and Firecake to set the stage for the round of 16, which we won't know how that will play out quite yet until this group is done. But what about you guys? Where does Europe fit in on your schedules? You know, you're still in the same boat. Like, I watch all the Terran games, but that's about it.
I watch Grubby and Naniwa because they're like the foreign hopes. But unfortunately, RIP. And also, MMA doing well again is actually really weird to me, because it seems like you mentioned earlier, like Sleep, like, is coming back, and Kong Ho, and it just seems like out of nowhere that a lot of the old school players that were like really good before, but then kind of like teetered off, like somehow came back again. So, yeah.
You know, let me just throw this out here, because we talked a little bit about MMA recently on Inside the Game. And, you know, and thinking a little bit more about it, there really has to be some level of stability that comes with, obviously, performance, right? Like, what we saw him break out under the wing of Boxer and Slayers, and that's where he made his initial mark. And then, you know, that didn't all work out the way that I think everyone had expected it to. And, you know, eventually picked up by Acer, and this has worked out, you know, I think this worked out pretty good for him. And maybe he's found that stability again. And that's allowed him to be the player that, you know, I felt like we've all known he could be. Like, MMA has always looked incredibly amazing, even, you know, to the point, Zeno, that you were saying, like, what I used to remember just being in awe by MMA drops. And I think he won most of his games today, just, you know, executing some unbelievable multi-pronged attacks and drops on his opponents. So, you know, I don't know. I'm just, like, kind of throwing a dart at the board and seeing if it hits. But I do think that, you know, maybe stability had a lot to do with his success, because he teetered over the time where that stability seemed to be absent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it can't be unsaid, but I think it bears mentioning that when he was in Korea, he was dealing with that drama going on with the Slayer's house and Crank and Axiom and that transition and what was going on with Jessica and all that. And then since then, he signed with Acer. And as you said, maybe he didn't say this, but he's been training in Europe, living with Minsik and a couple other Korean pro gamers, which is obviously not as good as training in Korea itself, but it's the more stable situation, which has made him, as you said, much more successful. And it's really nice for us. I mean, we even just got done seeing his run at DreamHack Winter where he – or not DreamHack Winter, excuse me, Bucharest, where he played phenomenally well. And he was a serious contender for the overall crown at the end of that thing.
So then I ask another question. Zena, you mentioned that Grubby and Nani while you watch because they're the foreign hopes. So who are the foreign hopes now in your mind?
Ooh, well, Nurcio has always just somehow done really well. Like, even when I just completely expect him to lose, he just pulls the bunny out of his hat and then wins. And I think also Happy has a lot of potential right now. Like, everybody in EU always hypes Happy as, like, the most underrated foreign player. And I've played him quite a bit, and he's very solid, very fundamental, and coming out first place in his group, he looks very convincing. So,
Happy's always been one of those players that surprised me. He really has, all the way back from Warcraft 3. To see him continue to have some success, he had such a rough yet defined style when he first started out in StarCraft 2, and he's just continued to get better and better. But I'd be really interested to see him go the distance. Jeff, you have any thoughts on who the EU foreign hope might be based off of who's left?
No, not necessarily. I think it'll be interesting to see how Genius does getting into that top 16. I feel like he's a real threat to actually win the whole thing. And I know he's not a foreigner, he's a Korean actually, but I guess I'm a little bit intrigued by the Koreans that make it into Europe because
they
have to go through hell to get there. Korea to Europe latency is just terrible. So the ones that do make it through, I feel like are very, very, they've earned it basically. So we'll see. I would really like it if a foreigner did win, but I don't know if I'd ever pick a favorite just because I've been so disappointed in the last couple attempts that I've made for that underdog pick at DreamHack Europe. But just another opportunity to take a tip of the hat to DreamHack. I keep saying DreamHack. I mean WCS Europe. They've done a phenomenal job with their production. It's been really great. And they continue to impress. They continue to innovate that way. Kolaris Apollo, very nice. And I'm excited for the top 16. We'll see where it goes.
All right, before we go to the top 16, though, one more group. MC, Stardust, Kaz, and Firecake. Favorites definitely got to be MC and Stardust. Everyone agree, or someone have different thoughts on that?
Well, you know, it's funny. I watch Stardust's stream all the time that it's on. And sometimes, because of the way he and Cass plays the frickin' ladder, like, they're just monsters. They play all day long, European ladder, nonstop. I've watched them play 9 games in a row from time to time because they just slam into each other and won't stop re-queuing over and over again. And it's interesting because there'll be streaks of time where Cass wins 3 or 4 and then Stardust wins 3 or 4. So what I take from that is this is very much so up in the air. It's kind of interesting. While I do agree with you that Stardust should be the favorite, Cass could be that Cass on that day that beats him 3 or 4 times. And if that's the case, then that's one down. And I'm sure everyone agrees that Firecake has made an awesome job for himself getting into this position, but he is far and away the underdog. And then what's interesting to me, again, is that MC is not the MC of old. He's not a shoe-in to win things. So does he get upset by Stardust in a volatile PvP matchup? And then does he get beat by Cass, who's always been good enough to beat MC, just doesn't have the consistency that obviously MC does have for what has resulted in his name now.
And it should be noted that Stardust and Kaz do face each other in that opening matchup. Well, the second matchup, but in the first round of that.
There you go.
So what do you think, Lebo?
I'm actually going to take Stardust and Cass to make it out because I have like a lot of games played in the European server, and Cass, I and Stardust play like a lot of games. I've played against Stardust a lot, and basically I think between MC and Stardust, they play very, very non-standard, kind of like gimmicky styles. Like basically everything that Stardust does is committed kind of blindly, and it has a lot of holes. I feel like if Cass researches, then he can defend. And also versus MC, like, ever since the beginning of Heart of the Swarm, he's always been really favoring the Oracle busts and Oracle heavy openings. So I feel like Cass can definitely pull an upset versus one of those two Koreans.
All right, good stuff. Let's move on to WCSM. Am I in the right spot? Yes.
2013, right?
I hate you. Wait, why? No, is this right? Group stage at 32? It says, oh, yes, that's right, because they play the groups out of order. I forgot. Okay, I'm not going crazy. All right, so round of 32 just kicked off. I know you guys, you were worried about me there for a second. They're not playing the groups in order, which will make this a little bit confusing. Right now, only one group has played. That happened last night. Yul, Hack, Arthur, and Alive. It was a four Korean stack group where Buell and Hack went through. And currently we have EG versus the Apocalypse, as EG's Oz, the Muslim, and Suppy are up against just Apocalypse as the non-EG in that group. And that's currently going on right now. I didn't see who won that. The Muslim lost on a 2-1. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so now Oz is taking on Apocalypse to see if he will hear him. But let's talk a little bit about AM. We've got a lot of groups that are about to be played here over the next few weeks. And any comments on... Well, why don't we talk about the group that's playing right now? Since a lot of people are actually watching with their third eye.
It's unfortunate that there's three EGs in there. I mean, and then one really good player in Apocalypse. Apocalypse has been laddering on NA for a while now and been monster moding it with just a crazy good win percentage. Because with three EGs in there, obviously at least one has to be eliminated, but there's a good chance that even two will be eliminated with Apocalypse being as good of a player as he is. So that sucks, but that happens. Group itself is interesting just because Oz was able to beat Suppy pretty handily, and then since that, his PVT is, as he says, his best matchup. So he's got Apocalypse now, and then perhaps either Demuslim or, again, Suppy. So there's a very good chance he'll make it out. Who will come second is the interesting thing. Of course, I'm filthy biased, so I want it to be Demuslim or Suppy, but Apocalypse is a huge roadblock, assuming he loses to Oz. And then as far as all the groups are concerned, I always have a chuckle when I look at these groups. I mean, look at the frickin' flags.
I know.
I'm not jumping on the boat of, like, stupid, should have been region locked, like, too many Koreans, like, whatever, you can take that argument. We've had that a thousand times over. All I'm looking at is how fucking ridiculous stacked the WCS NA tournament is. Like, let me try to find what I would think is the weakest group. And I would think...
While you do that, by the way, I just want to quickly show Europe one more time. Because Europe is, you know, of course, yes, you've got some Korean flags in there, but Europe is... It's predominantly, you know, it is predominantly Europe. But you do look at this other side, and it is a bit cray.
It's pretty funny because, for the longest time, since the beginning of Wings of Liberty, the Europeans were very proud of the fact that the European ladder was significantly better than the North American one, and this is where the better foreigners came from. And all that's true. That's not up for dispute. That's absolutely true. But in this day and age of WCS, the absolute worst region in terms of skill by a gigantic margin is the European region. And I feel like the funny thing about that is that as I say this, there's the majority of people would agree, but there's going to be people that's combative, that's mean, that's wrong, that's not true. The Europeans are better. Like, they're going to still have that, like, little... hurrah, you know, like, little feeling. But when I look at this fucking WCSNA region, this is so stacked. What is the worst group? Maybe you'd make a case for Maxed, Sen, Huangshin, Ghost User. I think that has to be at Group C. But even of that group, Sen just kind of silently wins. It's too bad that Taiwan bought him out. Otherwise, we know exactly how good he is because... he's just been over there winning absolutely everything. And then when he comes out, he still wins most of what he plays in. Max said one of the best Chinese players. Huangshin, very underrated Korean. And then Ghost User, of course, going over to Europe training for a long time, one of the better Americans. So that's the weakest group. But even that group in the European scene would be a pretty tough one. Not one of the absolute best, I don't think so, but middle of the pack. But then the rest of these groups, head and shoulders tougher than Europe. Head and shoulders. It's insane.
Yeah, what do you think, Lebo?
Well, it's not going to get any better. I mean, the next WCS America Challenger qualifier is coming up, and the last one was like filled with Koreans. Like, 8 Koreans made it through. I guess you can't technically call Select a Korean. He's kind of like a hybrid, but he technically is Korean, and there were still a lot more Koreans that could have made it through. So,
and will.
Yeah, and will.
They're doing qualifications soon here.
Yep. And I don't know. When I watched Duck Yok and Tails play, like, to get to Premier League and stuff, they had to play with, like 3 second delay. Like, Korea to EU is just awful. But, like, I was watching Tails and Duck Yok advance through, like, some huge European names with, like, 8 gate, 10 Cybernetics core. Like, I don't know. Koreans are really good, and now they're dominating NA, which means that NA is pretty good too, I guess.
Pretty good.
So, production-wise too, it's worth noting that this is the first chunk of season that NA will be, or excuse me, NASL will be handling everything. It's at their studio. It's their guys. They're not splitting time with Blizzard like they did before, or carting their guys down to Blizzard's offices. And that's cool. That's interesting. So I feel like people should enter into that and evaluate them and judge them. And I think they should compare them to WCS Europe, because I feel like that's the kind of competition that we should be promoting as well in WCS, is saying who's got the better show and who's innovating and doing something different. Because I would like, and we've talked about this in the past, I'd like each region to bring something new to the table and to push and to innovate and to want to be the best show. And I hope that that's something that people talk about, not in a hater kind of way, but more in a like, I'm interested in which one entertains me the most, who's bringing in the best commentators, that kind of thing. So you can see here with NASL, if you're watching, as any responsible StarCraft II citizen should, WCS NA right now, as well as Inside the Game, you'll see that they brought in Ghost User to do some analyst or analysis work for them. And
who
I think
looks
that
great, by the way. He looks very cool. I was like, is that Ghosty User with his hair up? And I don't think I've ever seen his hair up like that.
No, he's decked out to the nines. He's dressed really nice, and he's co-commentating with Retort. But I like that NESL went in a direction that a lot of people wouldn't have predicted. Nobody would be like, well, obviously Ghost User's going to pick up a caster job here pretty soon. Not at all. But I like that NESL is on that level. They're looking to get analysis and information into that casting group. Because I guess if there was one thing missing from the NESL group, it would be someone that's like an active pro gamer that knows the game in and out. Like Rotterdam plays at a pretty high level, so he knows it fairly well. But Bitter's too busy with the management side of things and World of Tanks. And Frodan's gone, and Greetor plays competitively, but he too is into World of Tanks. And whenever you split your time like that, your knowledge is going to dip. So I like that NESL went out and tried to fill that gap.
Good call. And that's going on right now and will be, as I mentioned, the groups. Did I actually get rid of it? No, here we go. The groups, they don't necessarily play in order. So you have to go to the page and actually look. So I think like tomorrow is Group B, even though D and F have just been played, and then Group H is until October. And yeah, so just keep your eye either on WCS.battle.net or over on Wikipedia, or Liquipedia, rather. Find out some more. All right, so that's WCS in a nutshell. This weekend had a big event. That was, of course, DreamHack Bucharest, which looked fantastic, felt fantastic, and only after about 20 seconds of watching, I knew that I was watching a DreamHack, whether it be the way their production is, whether it be the music that is played, or whether it be the, you know, fairly prompt games and the multiple streams that also covered games during the group stages. I'd have to say that DreamHack once again shows that they are a organization of consistency, and they teed it up and knocked it out again.
Yeah, just a fantastic show. I guess I didn't get to watch very much of it, so I guess they had some stream issues. There's some downtime and things getting kicked out there this way and that way. And that's too bad. But actually, credit to them, that wasn't the dominant storyline at all, or even close to it. It was just kind of an inconvenience, and they played funny music, and people actually were like, "It's okay, downtime, funny music." So that's kind of cool that DreamHack has that power and that reputation in the community, because that's what you'd rather people talk about. And on the flip side, the comparison is a company like MLG, where if they have downtime, it's like the end of the fucking world. And I don't necessarily feel bad for MLG, because again, it's part of like how you craft your image and how you do things. And MLG is very like suit and tie, very, hello, we're coming from New York offices. And when things go down, their suit and tie, straight-laced people are like, I don't. But what DreamHack does is like, ah, fuck it, grab a beard, listen to some shitty music from the 80s. And people are like, well, I can't be mad at them because they're probably high. So that was nice. That was kind of a funny thing to see on a production scale. But as far as the overall show and the games, DreamHack is lucky. They're very blessed. They have great games right and left.
Right.
Smix did a great job. She's an amazing talent in the sense that she can translate and host at a really high level. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Day 9 wanted to get on the action, and he's just such an energy that he's just going to raise the fun of whatever he's a part of. So people really enjoy that. And then you have the two of the absolute best / smartest commentators in Apollo and Artosis. You're not going to have a bad show. So DreamHack, like, the reason I always bring up production is because I want that to matter. Obviously, it shouldn't be the only thing we talk about, but it's cool when a company works and invests in putting on a show and doing something that people could tune into as entertainment. I didn't need to watch TV on that day because DreamHack was going on. And I like that they do that. So I think it's really cool.
Yeah, I agree with that. Zeno, did you watch much DreamHack this weekend?
Yeah, I watched all of it. Tasia, like, didn't lose a single game in the playoffs. That was... this is like probably the hardest tournament outside of WCS Korea, and Tasia looked very, very, very solid. So I don't know. Before this, I didn't think that Tasia was actually like that good, because it's hard to gauge when he's not in WCS Korea anymore. But like now, I realize that Tasia is still the beast of the summer. So, yep.
When you say that you think this is like one of the hardest. What's your
player pools?
What you meant? Yeah.
Yeah. The player pool at DreamHack this time was pretty astonishingly hard from the Terran perspective.
Is there a cat?
Oh, that's Minnie. Wait, sorry. Minnie. Yeah. Man, he knows how to entertain himself. What can I say?
It's okay. That's awesome. That's what kids should do.
That's right.
But yeah, they got saved. Like, this is DreamHack. This is them in a nutshell. Like, Supernova's having the tournament of his life, and TVZ is a very hard matchup for Zergs these days. So if Supernova beats Life, it's four Terrans at the end of it, and that's what everyone talks about. But because Life edges his way in there, and then actually I think he ended up... Life lost in the finals, right?
No, he lost in the semifinals.
No, yeah.
It was the semifinals, but... I mean, he just kind of saved him from that, so that was interesting. And then, like you said, Tasia was just kind of having his on-fire summer tournament. And it's not fair to say nobody. He was one of the favorites going into it, but one of the, like, third or fourth favorites. Everyone was talking about innovation. Jadong has to win a DreamHack someday. And, of course, Flash coming out of his, like, little mini rest that he took where he wasn't playing on the Flash level that he has in the past. But then it was like, nope, Tasia just won it. And Tasia was clearly the best player there. So it was cool game-wise, too. And that's something that they have fun with. Foreigners represented fairly well. They had something like 11 foreigners in the top 32 or something like that, like a pretty good number. Don't quote me on that exact number, but it was pretty high. They did fizzle out as the tournament went on, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, it only has from 1 to 16 here, and Elfie and Nurture are the only ones that got
Elfie
on top of that.
Elfie had a great tournament, again.
Did you guys have any matches that were particularly stood out to you? And then also, just on top of that, Lebo, what'd you think? You mentioned Innovation's sort of TVT curse, and he did take an 0-3 loss versus Tasia in the finals. Have any thoughts and comments about that?
So Innovation versus MMA is a series that Innovation should not have won at all. Like, you asked about games that stood out, like, I think it was game two of Innovation versus MMA was like astonishing. Like, MMA was pretty much completely devastating innovation the entire game for like 20 minutes. I just completely wrecked. And then all of a sudden, MMA spreads himself a little bit too thin, and innovation in trademark fashion pulls some SCVs off the line and makes magic happen. And then MMA is like so rattled after that that he like goes for this really wonky one racks build, which is not done anymore in TBT. So I innovation pretty much got outclassed by MMA, but then all of a sudden does what innovation does. But he had pretty much no such luck in the finals. Like, you can tell, like, innovation is just like confused in TBT right now. It's just everything just doesn't look as crisp as Tasia was doing it. Like, Tasia had a set plan for pretty much every single part of the game. Like, once he moves out, I'm going to counterattack. But innovation was pretty much always on the receiving end. Like, he never made any plays that would make any other Terran player like, oh man, I need to respond. It was just innovation pretty much taking it and then slowly losing. And pretty much in Korean StarCraft, if you're playing not to lose, you're going to lose. So, yep.
What about you, Jeff? Any games that stood out to you or that you really enjoyed watching?
I'm going to take a little bit of a mulligan on this one. I watched as much as I could on my phone because I was at home visiting family for that weekend. But unfortunately, this will go down as the dream hack that I didn't watch every single minute of. So
I was at a wedding, and I like woke up on Sunday morning. I was all happy because it was all over, and I could pay attention to everything. And so, yeah, I was like that guy with the sports app. Like, hold on, honey, let me just check the scores real quick. That was me, actually. And I make fun of those people, but, you know.
Damaga beating Flash. Big shout-out to him. That's really cool. Really cool.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to the group stage 3 just to kind of look at that. Because that's where we did see a lot of notable folks eliminated. So certainly they were pretty rough. And everyone in here was pretty much a name that you were, you know, you were familiar seeing. But yeah, I mean, every single one has a favorite, if you will, that just couldn't make it through.
Jadong losing to SOS was unfortunate because I can't remember what Zerg it was that beat SOS earlier. I want to say he lost in the group before to someone like Nurcio or something.
He lost to Hyun.
Hyun? Oh, it was Hyun. Okay. And the builds that SOS did were really... they were unimpressive for what you would expect out of SOS. So I watched that series and I was like, wow. Because Hyun just monster moded him. I think it was on Belcher Vestige, and I want to say like Neoplanet S or something like that. And it was just two Void Ray attempts. The Belcher Vestige one was a weird defense into Six Gate into I'm not so sure about a pullback and then die. But for him to then beat Jadong was very surprising because Jadong in ZVP right now is looking incredible. He's looking very, very good. So I expected that to be kind of a free win, and then he'd have trouble with Tasia in the next round. But
he also tweeted the day before going into the round of 16 that he thought this was going to be the tournament.
Yeah. That's because he's a charismatic mofo, man.
He is.
He wants his fans rallied behind him, and he'll say stuff like that, which I really appreciate because the safer thing is to say absolutely nothing, and then every time you win something, when they ask you, just be like, oh, well, you know, I worked really hard, and they're much better. They're much better than me. I got lucky, but, you know, with enough luck, I did it. But Jadong's like, no, I'm the best, and I'm awesome. And then, of course, that looks really cool when he does awesome, but then it also backfires when situations like this happen, where he's like, I'm going to win this thing. And instead, he gets donked early on, kind of.
Sorry. Let's put the smack down. Jadong style. Yeah, I agree with you, though. Like, I'd rather see the personality come out. I know that he's really, really searching for that championship, you know, another opportunity. But, I mean, that top 16 was pretty rough. No doubt. No doubt about it. Now, before we go on to any final comments about DreamHack, the inevitable Terran discussion has to come up as we see, you know, a pretty decent race distribution across the top 16. And, you know, generally, that's what we see. Like, I don't feel like we're ever going in a top 16, like, it's all Prodos, or it's all Zerg, or it's all Terran. But then, of course, as you start to go on in the best, or in the quarterfinals, the semifinals, you see it starting to mop up. Is it another phase? Is it the state of the metagame right now with Terrans?
I feel like the game's in a pretty good place, and I feel like balance-wise, we're seeing maps have a real big effect. Oh, shit, son. And DJ Wheat's a total bee's-natch, son of a bitch. He's such a... He's a great guy.
I heard it all.
You heard it all? Oh, damn.
Some about being a son of a bitch. I'm like, well, he only speaks the truth. What can I
do? I feel like the game's fairly okay. I still feel like perhaps TVZ needs a look at the matchup, and it might even just be the Widowmine or something like that, or upgrades. We've had this talk a few times before, too, and I feel like this tournament doesn't, like, super support it. Like, it's not like we're like, look, Zerg's never stood a chance. But it certainly is another tournament where Terrans did very well. Zergs were, you know, you can look at Life's matches and take a look for yourself. He was pretty okay, though. But I like where the game's at. I don't think we're in this weird state where, like, there's going to be an asterisk mark next to these guys, and you're like, wow, this doesn't count because that was the era of X. I feel like it's pretty okay.
I feel like I'm putting up this clap gif from Tasia too, and it actually.
Oh God.
And I feel like someone needs to modify this gif just a little bit, because at one point he actually, like, doesn't even clap. Someone needs to, like, put a force field there, like a Prodos force field. It definitely, something is happening there.
Taish is, like, it's so funny. Force, like, field. He's so good at StarCraft. He's such a nice, smart guy. But every time they bring him out on the stage, it's like, I feel like it's from that, you know, not even dystopian, but, like, from iRobot when they walk out the servitor robots and they're like, hey, take a look at this new model we have. Like, that's Taish. He, like, walks out and he's like, champagne bottle. How to open? Don't know. And then they're like, even how Smix got him to laugh. He like his first couple laughs or claps. He didn't even hit his hands. He just like the motion started. And you know what that reminds me of? That's like Anna, my wife's dog Pola. Sometimes when the wind blows on her hard enough, she thinks she's underwater, she'll start paddling her legs as, like, just an instinctual act. Yeah, it looks as dumb as what Tasia did, is what I'm saying. Like, Tasia's like, people clapping. God.
And we did have a failed.
If he wins enough dream hacks, he'll get the practice in to clap and to open champagne bottles. And if that's what StarCraft teaches him, we can all rest our head on that. That's fine.
And the bottle opening was a little rough.
We gotta start turning that around. We gotta make fun of Boss. He's like so determined. Robert Olin.
I want to start playing StarCraft and win one of these things because I know how to open one of those fucking bottles, man. Like, I feel like I just, you know, fuck winning a championship. I just want to be the guy who's like, he got it right! Oh my God, someone got the champagne right. Motherfucker, it's about time. 2018, I can't believe it actually happened. That's
why we need the comeback of MC. He's the guy that has the Korean background, but the socialization, I feel like, to win a tournament and then to grab that bottle, bite it off of his face, just shake it at the audience and probably tear off his costume he's wearing or something, and all the other nerds will be like, whoa, that's what DreamHack was trying to do. Okay, that looked really awesome.
I love how Robert just you know, and he goes out there, and it didn't work, man. So
you saw the over...
Yeah, I just showed it, the unnecessary censorship. It's pretty good. It's too funny. Yeah, one of these days, man. One of these
like
days.
It's like part of DreamHack tradition now, though. It's going to be like weird when...
Oh, yeah. No, you don't quit now. It's just it builds on itself at this point. It's just funny. It's just really funny.
I mean, like everybody's done it awkwardly now, so we just gotta keep the awkward train going strong.
Man, you know, like I would think Stefano would be one of the guys that would get it right. And I know I've told this story before, but I just have to tell it one more time. Is that not even on stage could Stefano get it right? Like, I thought, you know, he wanted to pop a champagne bottle. I'm like, you know, maybe he practiced a little bit. We're in the middle of a restaurant, and Stefano decides to shake it up. He pops the cork, but then he just keeps on shaking it. And after everything is said and done, because he bought the champagne to drink, not to really celebrate, there was like that much left in this giant bottle. And it was epic fail. Stefano.
Here's Stefano.
I know. Will anyone get it right? I never know. All right. DreamHack, great job. Robert, crew, production, casters, everyone who is
always
involved,
awesome.
Players. Great job. Great, great job this weekend. So. Oh, yeah. Also, SC2L.
Yeah.
Yeah. Took place there. The finals took place there. And it actually came down to a final game, right? Let me finish. In the regular season between you guys and Team Liquid.
You're in the past again. Yeah.
Yes. Ha-ha.
Yeah, Team Liquid beat EG in the Ace match, which was really exciting. Had really good games there. And then Acer caught fire. And they originally lost Team Liquid, actually. And then they came back and beat Axiom. And they beat Evil Geniuses in pretty convincing fashion to make it to the DreamHack Bucharest. But I think the cool thing about this was that DreamHack was cool about partnering about it. That was awesome. It was a little bit unfortunate the way the games went down, in the sense that they played it. They like started at midnight or something over in Romania. So it was pretty tiring for the players, not the optimal condition for the best games possible. So that's something that you'll always evaluate. You look at that and say, well, okay, if we can find a day to do that at an earlier time, we'll probably do that in the future. But the combination of the two is really cool. The SC12 season as a whole was really successful and awesome. When we had good broadcasting hours, as in earlier on in the day avoiding WCS, it was 10,000 to 12,000 people tuning in, which is about what you would expect on the higher end for a team league like this, and that was nice. I know that we sold a lot of D-Link routers, which was really important because that was a new sponsor coming in trying to see if they can do activations in esports. And I had the opportunity to cast with Nathanius, yourself, Day9, and Artosis. And that was really, really cool for me because outside of them, I think maybe Apollo is who I would name as like my dream casters that I would want to cast every single game ever with. And in that way, SC12 was really nice. So I was really happy with it. And I wish it would have concluded a little bit closer. Unfortunately, like I said, Acer was tired or something like that. And, 4-1 was pretty one-sided. All the games were pretty clear. So I wish they would have been a little bit more competitive. But that's what every tournament wishes, right? They're always like, I wish it would go to the ace match and 45-minute
right.
Base trade, amazing game. But it didn't. So that's what it is.
And there you have it. There's the final score. So whether or not I have no announcement as of yet as to what exactly like when the next event will be or what it will be or team league or whatever. But I would hope that we continue to see the SC2L and
yeah. The early word is that it'll be next year, similar format. You know, we'll make the changes necessary that things to improve upon it. But that is not official. That's not an announcement in any way, shape, or form. So if it doesn't happen, don't start tridenting or pitchforking anybody. But that's the plan. That's what we want to do. And I think the kind of nice thing now is that in this more stable. Like, it took forever to freaking launch SC2L, and that was a big part of the reason why this season felt so rushed and had a lot of problems. But this next season won't have those issues because now that we're in the ecosystem with WCS and everybody else, we know how it works. It should be a pretty smooth launch next time with the great UI that you guys saw, a new or the same sponsor, but that kind of thing going on as well. That's kind of the new model for this. And then as many of the top teams as we can get under one flag, and then a whole other season of more team leagues. Should be awesome.
Word. All right. Not an official announcement.
Not official.
Not official. Don't come running. All right, before we open up the phone lines, State of Play is a documentary that has been released recently, and I'm sure that you guys have all been involved or made yourself a running joke about when will these documentaries ever be released. And, you know, we're starting to hear more and more news about many of them completing up. I mean, you know, as much as I would like entertainment to be spit out in 30 days, a lot of times this takes a long time to put together and make a story out of all the footage that you shoot. And unfortunately, the more footage you shoot, the harder it becomes. But I guess I should full screen that so that makes so much sense. But State of Play is recently released. You can buy it and watch it online for $9.99, or you can get sort of the deluxe package for $14.99. I still have not been able to watch it because I was out of town for a wedding. I wanted to take it with me, but I couldn't get it on my iPad device. But I want to watch this one. Everyone that I've talked to, you guys, says that it's really well done and a really interesting look at sort of that culture and just competitive gaming and the mindset. Of course, you could see Jadong on the front here. I'd hope that maybe someone, when we open up the phone lines, would call in and say, hey, I watched it, and either it's great or either, you know, wait till it comes out on Netflix. I don't know.
Everyone I've heard said it's great, so definitely check it out. And it's very much so about Jadong and just kind of he's in the thick of things in Brood War during that video, I believe. So it's interesting. Worth noting as well is that the EG documentary that has been in production for, it was filmed all of last year, but it's been in production for, you know, what, 8 months now or something crazy like that. The final shoot was actually at Anna and I's wedding in December.
Oh.
That comes out next month, which is really cool because...
Oh, really?
We haven't announced that. We haven't said anything much about it. Like, people saw them in the background of our streams, and they'd say, who's that? And we'd say it's the documentary crew. Like,
right.
We didn't hide it. But we haven't been hyping it at all in true EG fashion, just because as people are realizing right now, and it's kind of nice, we ducked out of the storm. Documentaries actually take a long time to get out. So almost, it feels like every month there's a new thread on Reddit about when is Star Nation coming out or Sons of StarCraft, and then people like, they took your fucking money and ran.
Yeah.
You can just see it. Yeah. So it, like, there's that kind of venomous talk about documentaries, and of course any excuse for Adebisi to be a douchebag, he'll take it. So he's been out there and making his comments, and like that's the culture around documentaries right now, when in fact I'm of the mind that this is actually really exciting. Like, State of Play was nice, but also completely unexpected. People didn't know that was going on. This EG one is going to have like insane stuff that people have never seen before. I think everyone actually cries in the documentary. One of the owner, it'll be interesting to see if this makes cut, someone calls someone a bitch within EG in their interview. Someone from some, I'm not going to, like, that's the In Control announcement. Someone from someone just says to someone else, you're a bitch, or something like that. So if it doesn't make the cut, then I'll be in trouble because then I'm the holder of secrets. But it's just, it's a very emotional video. It's a very deep. They talk about a lot of things. It's not going to be just like a StarCraft 2 is a game played with your hands and eyes. And here's a player now coming down the stairs. Let's ask him how he, you know, like, it's nothing like that. It's going to be, it's more of a profile piece on like the people, and there's a story throughout that. It's pretty cool.
Awesome. I can't wait. I find them interesting. They just take a long time to get out. And we're probably going to see two or three in this next span of a year. So, all right, should we open up the phone lines for a bit?
Do it.
I think we shall. There's two ways to reach us. You either pick up that phone and dial 909-581-8519, or you can Skype me over at DJ Wheat, and we'll get you on the air. I would also love to hear from anyone who did watch the State of the Play documentary. You know, just your thoughts on it. Worth the $9, you get the deluxe edition, whatever.
Do you really?
What?
Do you actually get a deluxe edition if you pay more? Like, what?
Yeah, like, it's $5 more. I think you get some stuff that you don't get otherwise. Oh, let's see. Hold on. You get the full 85-minute theatrical version available for instant streaming or HDDR and free download. And then you get bonus movies, Rise of the King, the story of I Am MVP, Inside the Metaverse, a documentary about online virtual worlds, 52 minutes. And I think that's it.
Well, that's kind of cool.
So I guess you get some more stuff. All right, let's take our first call here. Let's take area code 386. Hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. On the subject of good DreamHack matches to watch, in the group stage two, it's group I, Feral versus Supernova.
Feral?
I've never heard. Feral, S-E-R-R-A-L. I'd never heard of him before, okay. But that was an amazing series, and I'm definitely now a Feral fan.
Can you just tell us a little bit about what made the series good?
Yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, Supernova won 2-0, so, I mean, it was definitely, you know, Supernova won, but it was so, so close in between them. The whole game was just back and forth to DBT, you know, nonstop pushes going one way, pushes going the other way. And Sarah is apparently a 14-year-old as well. So to see someone like that taking Supernova to the limits was really cool to watch.
Interesting. And where is Sarah from? Oh, I've seen it right here. Finland.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, so I didn't get a chance to see this one. Did either of you guys see that?
I watched the first game on Whirlwind. It was so bizarre. Like, Supernova lifted his entire base to, like, the top left and then ended up winning the game off of, like, 10 Banshees off of, like, a Hydra switch, like, 40 minutes in the game. So, yeah, very, very weird games.
But 14.
Yeah,
taking
he's...
a game off of Korean, man.
He's been playing at a pretty high level for a couple of years, actually, on the European ladder. He's really, really good. And it's awesome. This is part of also... DreamHack's history and tradition is that this is where names are made and really cool stories are coming out. Serral gave a good series. It was broadcasted, and now there's all these fans and people talking about him. He did not go much further in the tournament. He did not, as far as I... Yeah, he was not in the top 16, so... He didn't, by most stretches of our measurements, have a good tournament, for, you know, at the end of the day. But where he does have a tremendous tournament is where... He's given this opportunity, and he shines. He competes with Supernova, who is a former Code S, if not current. I don't know if he's in the current top 16 for Korea, but he was up there. One of the best Korean Terrans on the planet, and Serral gives him a great series. And he's young, and he's the brother of Protosser, so yeah. That's cool. That guy, what he needs to do now, turn around and start streaming and attend the very next tournament he possibly can do and create a story, build up on this. And if he does do that, then that's when suddenly all, you know, sponsors are like, "Ooh, who's this kid? Is he on a, what team is he on? And if he's not on a team, you know, when's his contract up, or if he is, that kind of stuff." And that's how careers are made. And I hope if there's other people listening, I know that one of the people that's listening right now is Arium. I know this because he messaged me on Valorant to say he can't figure out Skype. So he's going to have to figure that out. He, too, is one of those young guys that just joined that Root Academy. Yeah. He's a very young guy, and he's a GM on NA. This is how you do it. You're young, so people are giving you more credit than perhaps they would somebody else that's more older. But then you get some results, and then you turn those results into consistency in some way, shape, or form. You get exposed, and all of a sudden people are paying you to play the game that you love.
Awesome. Caller, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Thanks.
That is good advice, though, and I absolutely agree. Sometimes this is, like, the best time to really jump on top of that. So
yeah.
All right, let's do another one here. We've got an unknown number. Hello, unknown. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Oh, my God. Hi.
Hi.
I'm Arium.
Oh.
I got it. Hi.
Hi.
I just really wanted to call because I finally got this thing to work. Oh, my God, I'm so nervous.
Well, you know what? I'm glad that we can share your excitement for getting a piece of technology like Skype working.
Yeah, awesome. Well, my question was, well, first of all, I wanted to start off by saying you guys are all awesome. I walked home as fast as I can to take a shower and then to tune into the show, which is awesome.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. All you guys are, like, my favorites. well, my question was, I was wondering how you guys deal with, like, tilt and, like, anger management, I guess. Well, not anger management, just, like, how do you relax yourself after doing a bad day on ladder, I guess, or just in general, just, you know, not playing well for a couple of days, because I'm like having like one of the worst tilts in my life right now, and it kind of sucks, but...
It's actually a great question. I like this one a lot, and I can't wait to hear what both Lebo and Jeff have to say. So who wants to start?
Lebo.
All right. So I think one of the things that I pride myself on is, like, the ability to always look forward and just try to improve at the most optimal rate. Since I'm, like, a part-time player, I kind of have to find ways to improve that most full-time players don't. And I found, like, the best way to approach things like ladder is that it's just there solely for you to improve, not for you to win. Like, I never really cared about winning, and that's why I really don't care that much about losing. So, like, if you ever face some guy that just, like, 10 pulls every game, and he's, like, high master somehow or something like that, and you play him and you lose, well, good news for you, because that guy is solely there as an obstacle for you to improve. So... sometimes when I go on, like, bad loss streaks, I just take a little bit of a break, take, like, a 10-minute break in between each game. Most importantly, I just watch my replays and approach it like I need to improve. Like, I need to get something out of this loss. Like, that way, I mean, that's why I like losses. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have given this speech before, but it's true. Like, you really can't step on the same stone twice in StarCraft. If you don't learn from your mistakes, then you're going to keep stagnating. But fortunately, like, we have a replay system. So as long as you approach the game with, like, an intent to learn, then I find, like, it's a lot better to not get tilted a lot.
Okay. Jeff?
Yeah, that's really cool. I never thought about it like that. I don't know. I've just always been like, you know, I just hate losing. I never take losing, you know, that's the thing. But I've never realized, I don't know. It's just, like, really frustrating as well, because there's a lot of, you know, cheaters as well, like hackers. You know, those are all really frustrating to play versus. I'm just trying to find a different server to play on, because I feel like NA is awful to play on.
What do you think, Jeff? What's
it's, you know, it's
methods?
Actually a really common problem that people have in terms of needing to find a way to not get tilted on the ladder and stuff like that. So... it's a little bit different when talking to some of the competes, because my general advice for people with ladder anxiety or tilting issues is get a new account, or maybe you already have an account, make a name, don't have any friends on it, and just play it where only you know whether you win or lose. That should relinquish a lot of the stress, because if in that situation you're still raging when you lose, even though it's only you that is upset about that, like it's only you that knows about that... then you might have issues that maybe even go outside the game a little bit. But for a competitive player, it's not really necessarily an option, because people are analyzing your games and figuring out who you are. But also, it's important for you to get your name out there, so it's not really that productive to be secretive 100% about your gameplay, unless you're completely established. In which case, I always just, like, if I lose three or four games and for some reason I get really mad, which for me it's usually when, like, someone's beating me and they're still bad-marrying me, or, like, they're obviously hacking or cheating and they're just kind of rubbing it in. Then I'll just get up and go read for a while, go sit by the pool, or just do something else. Exercise is, of course, recommended. None of this is stuff that nobody's ever heard about, but it's actually important to embrace, because if you sit there and continue while pissed trying to play, even if you win, you're going to play at a really low standard for yourself, in which case it's not effective practice, but there's a really good chance you could get to a point where you burn out or say something stupid. We've seen guys ruin careers or at least hurt themselves because in that period of time, they snap back and say something really mean to someone or someone in real life, and all of a sudden they're in trouble for that day. Or, I mean, take it from me, for shit's sakes, I'm married. There's been a few times where I've gotten really mad because someone's bad marrying me or something like that, and Anna's like, hey, Jeff, you want to go to bed? And I'm like, not now. And that's all it takes. That's all it takes. And then, like, the next 2 days are ruined because we're fighting and shit like that. Whereas if I take care of myself and stay calm, she asks the very normal and standard thing like that, and I'll be like, you know, not right now, honey. I love you so much. You're beautiful, babe. Oh, thanks, honey. And then, like, you know, the day goes on. So you got to be on your game in real life and in game.
So I'm going to throw out probably the unorthodox thing of the two. I mean, obviously, everything that Lebo and Jeff said is absolutely right. Because even as just someone who likes to play the game, right? Like, I'm not competing on any level, but damn it, like, I want to win. That's why I play. Like, it's the competitive fire inside. But have you guys ever heard of Onnit before? The company Onnit? They make they make a something called Alpha Brain, which I'm sure people have probably heard of before.
Alpha Brain, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So they also make a supplement called New Mood. And there was a period where I was like, oh, you know, like I'm gonna try this, you know, better living through chemistry, right? So let me give this New Mood a shot. And I didn't really feel like there was necessarily any effect, right? So after my first 30, wasn't a big deal. I was like, oh, okay, I'm not gonna keep doing this. I don't really think it was all that great. And I started laddering again after that. And I found myself actually getting more maybe flustered or upset or angered at my own loss or even like dumb mistakes that I would make. And that was when I realized that this New Mood was actually helping me tremendously when it came to just how I would feel about losses and what I would do about them. And I know people are going to say that's fucking crazy and that's absolutely insane. But you know what? Different things work for different people. And I found this to be like my ladder sessions were so much more enjoyable to the point where I was like pumping out 10-hour day, 12-hour day, just streaming for shits and giggles because, yeah, I wasn't really getting upset or flustered at all. Anyway, $30 for a 30 count, and they're not affiliated with us or anything, but I still this day take them. And does it, you know, decrease rage overall or full tilt? I don't know, but I definitely felt like when I wasn't taking it, I noticed that difference. So, might be something else if none of these other methods are actually working for you.
Is there an age restriction on that?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so.
If there is, Arian, I feel like this should have been discussed beforehand, but...
Oh, my bad.
If there is an age restriction on that, there's a natural... Same thing. It's this thing called masturbation. No, it's just masturbation. Do it before your ladder. You'll be calm. And you should be good to go.
Yeah.
Should take a lot of that tension out.
There you go.
Well, yeah. Thank you guys all so much for taking my call. Love what all you guys do. I wish you guys all the best with StarCraft in real life. And thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Take care, man. Bye.
See you guys.
Masturbation is the other.
Masturbation.
That's true. Awesome.
It doesn't cost a thing, too. That's the thing. You said $30. Masturbation's actually, like,
free. Awesome.
Free. Yeah, is it's absolutely free? Free.
You have it to is. Spend some energy, but that's
yes.
about it.
Just take that's energy. About it.
All right, we're still taking phone calls. You can reach us at 909-581-8519 or just call on Skype. And we're going to take another one right here. We got area code 682. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I have a more non-StarCraft related question, kind of a thing, for basically all you guys. How do you guys come up with your online handles? Because, I mean, mine, most people from In Control, it's a very notable name. People remember that name In Control. Mine's like six random letters. And I'm just wondering how you guys kind of come up with those sort of names.
Tell the story, Xenocider.
Okay. All right. So... When I was starting the game, I played on a separate account, but I never actually like bought StarCraft initially. Like I just got it from somebody else, and the person that had the account before me like portrait hacked. So he had like all this like weird portraits, like the dark voice and stuff. So basically, what ended up happening is I got banned on that account, and then I had to ask my friend to give me his account, and his name was Xenocider, and yep.
Wow.
Still today.
Wow. See, I find that so interesting.
Okay. Yeah, he already used his name change, so. Gee.
Wow. Well, In Control, for originality points, what's your.
When I was younger, I started playing Brood War when I was like 12 years old, the very beginning of the game. And I went by a lot of different names at the time. Overmind 9, Dark Swarm, something. I think those were the main ones. But eventually I joined a team, once I got pretty good, that is called the In Clan. And it was one of the top teams at the time. Incinerate, InQuerty, InQQ, Agent 9/11 is famous as well from there. They were very much so a Warhammer 2 team, gone Brood War, back to Warhammer 2. Or not Warhammer, Warcraft 2, excuse me. So when I joined the team, I just thought of a word that included in it. And of course, in control is two different words typically. But I combined them, and it's uppercase I, uppercase N, and then just control. And then when I eventually left the team, I wanted to keep the name, but out of respect to them, remove the tag, if you will. So I lowercase the I and then uppercase the L just because I thought it looked cool, and the rest is history. I've always been in control.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
well,
thank you
guys so much. Wanted to also say thanks again to In Control. I've met him a couple times at MLG, gotten pictures, autographs of him, so it's been pretty cool. Hopefully I can see maybe, you know, Suppy and Venusider and maybe DJ Wheat there again.
Right, yeah, on, man.
Hope to see
thanks
you.
A lot.
Thanks,
man.
Yeah.
Peace. Sweet. I totally dodged that. That's awesome.
You don't like telling your story, do you?
It's just like I feel like I fucking told it a million times. I just like I don't know.
You're going to have to make a blog, Wheat.
Fuck, man.
The story of my name.
Yeah. All right. I'm taking another phone call. I'm fucking dodging the shit out of this. All right. We got Breaker Rush on the line. Hello, Breaker Rush. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hello. Good morning from Korea, guys. First and foremost, sorry, Jeff, but I have to disagree with you on Sen advancing out of his group. Basically, I've seen him go up against Maxed at three different tournaments, none of which had an English stream, and he got his butt handed to him by Maxed in the end. This upcoming Friday, I have an interview with a huge organization that does esports across China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, Korea, and I was just looking for some advice.
Okay. Don't go to Clouf.
Hmm?
What?
Don't join Clouf.
What?
What?
What's your advice? All right, what kind of advice are you looking for?
Just like how do I sell myself to them? Because yeah, I'm bilingual. Chinese is my major, but I'm in Korea. I've got a small fan base growing on the Chinese Twitter equivalent known as Weibo.
Weibo.
Yeah.
So I guess you want to impress yourself on the organization that you're meeting with?
Have you called
more or
in
less?
Before?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry, Jeff.
Isn't this the same question you asked last time?
What?
No, I don't think it was.
Somebody called.
No.
Saying how do I?
No. That was stuff.
That was another guy that was a Chinese translator. In
yeah.
A
no. Okay. It was me, but my question then was, what can I do to convince them to send me to this event or that event as translator, stage host, whatever?
Okay.
So, moment of silence as Wheat recognizes that I
Let
was
me
right.
Yes.
Okay. Well, can you not tell us who the organization is? Because that could make a big difference on the advice that we would give.
All I'm going to say is it's one of the guys who do international tournaments. It's not NASL. It's not NASL. It's not MLG. It's not those guys. Because they're all domestically based in America, and they only do American tournaments.
Okay.
That's the only clue I can give you guys. I just want to keep this as, like, secretive as possible.
All right.
What I will tell you guys is my title, if I were to get the job, would be esports community manager.
Oh, interview. I'm sorry. I thought you meant like literally you were going to sit down and have an interview. I get it. It all makes sense now.
Okay.
I mean,
Wheat is
bro,
the most qualified to answer this question.
I can't tell you how to be you. That's the problem, is that no one in esports, I feel like, gets a job because they are that person. They get the job or because someone tells them how to be or how to impress themselves on an organization. Like, you just have to be you, right? If you I don't know what else advice to necessarily give you. There's no special magical words that will let you wield a silver tongue that will give you a higher chance of getting the job. You know what? Let's just have a fucking life moment right now, because I'm sure there's many folks out there that are going to be going to interviews or about ready to go to their first job, and I don't care if it's for the fucking video store or Little Caesars Pizza or esports global community manager or whatever. Just go in there and be honest and tell them why they would be smart to hire you. Are you a fucking hard worker? Are you, you know, are you able to tell me very quickly what your strengths and what your weaknesses are, and how that's actually going to help them in the long run? You know, if you're an esports guy, you better be a fucking team player, because you're never, you know, you're rarely doing anything on your own. But, like, you just got to be yourself. I don't know. I don't know what else advice to give you, man.
DJ Wheat?
Yes.
You should give college graduation speeches.
Well, maybe one day I will, man.
All right. I guess that's all I had to ask, but there is one thing I want to apologize to Jeff for, and that is, like, quote-unquote, spamming his message box, if you will, on Team Liquid. I just thought he was one of those guys who didn't check his messages.
Totally okay, man. Totally okay.
Yep. All right.
Thank you very much, man.
Thanks for the chin up.
Hey, no problem. Take care. Good luck. Good luck.
Bye.
Go get him, buddy.
My next question... So, in control, I'm just wondering, like, how should I dress myself in the morning? I'm just one. No, I mean, you know, I appreciate
know.
It.
I've got a fucking fly trap of a brain, trap of memory. I was like, where have I heard a question along the lines of, well, I mean, it's just impossible to answer. Last time he was like, how do I get myself sent to a tournament? We were like, well, what are your qualifications? He's like, I don't know, I'm pretty cool, I guess. And we're like, well, we don't really know. And then this time he's like, how do I do interview? Ugh.
No, it's just...
I mean, you gave good advice, you know? Kick some ass.
Right. Yeah, you can't overthink this shit, guys. There's like a, you know, like I'm worried that Breaker Rush is like overthinking it all. And when really he just needs to go in and... to, you know, be honest with himself. All right, let's take another one here. We're going to take one more. I see Goatlust is calling in, but not yet, Goatlust. All right, we're going to take Mickey. Mickey, hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, DJ Wheat.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
So, my question is, for, like, long ago, like, towards 2011, when EG picked up Huck, and people called, like, this huge move, and people saying, like, oh, Huck's, like, degrading himself, blah, 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 stuff like that. But that's not the point. My point is, do you think that, like, esports, just like any other sports, will evolve to a point where teams will start trading players?
Okay, first, before we answer this question, it's a good question. What are you playing?
Well, I was in the middle of League of Legends game, and then you guys took the calls.
See, you know what? I actually could tell you were playing League by your clicks. I should have said you're playing instead, just to prove that I knew. Okay. All right.
Now, let's take this to the next level, Wheat. Which position is he playing based on his clicks?
Based off of his clicks? Hold on, let me listen a little bit more. Well, now he's chasing someone, I think, or either running away. I'm going to have to say he's playing bot lane.
Close. Technically yes, but I'm support.
Well, that's fucking bot lane. Thank you very much.
Nailed it.
Thank you very much.
Nailed it.
Take my eyes, man. I don't need them anymore. All right. What do you guys think? Trade Bebo? Players.
You haven't talked in a while.
What? Oh, man. I'm talking to Stubby before his WCS.
All right. I'll go ahead and answer this question because I was actually paying attention, Carl. Thank you, because I respect you. And I think your time is valuable, even though during that time you are playing League of Legends, so it can't be... Anyways, I think so, and I think you could make arguments that it's already happened, and obviously it has, but do I think it'll become like a widespread thing like in real sports where we actually have an off season where we see teams organizing like direct trades between? Yes, but right now the reason why we're not seeing this is because contracts are very much so very different from sports, and I'm not even talking about the millions and millions of dollars that make the difference. I'm more talking about the way they're structured. Right now, players are like very much so approached individually and said, hey, would you like to sign with so-and-so team? And then they fire them the email and they hand them the, you know, they get the paperwork and then they sign it or they don't. Whereas in real sports, it's much more to do with that. Like, the contract is laid out so that they are, like, that money is owed to them, that time is allotted to them. And if some other organization wants to take that time and that money, they can, unless there's a clause in there or something like that. Whereas right now in esports, the contracts don't really support that because it's not the standard to provide everything like in sporting contracts. So I think it could evolve to that situation, but we're not there yet at all. A trade now would be like the player's opinion would be involved, right? Whereas in real sports, they're not. They'd be like, hey, we're talking to this such and such organization, and we think that they could be a good fit for you. What do you think? Or what's probably more likely is the player goes to the team and says, I don't want to be with you guys anymore. But even as I say that, like, I'm just going to come out and say it. The only guy I could ever see getting traded from one team to another is like Naniwa, where he's so valuable as a player. He's such a good player that someone would take him on and then maybe be like, well, if Naniwa gets really upset and doesn't really want to play for this organization anymore, he could ask for a trade and someone thinks someone would take him on because he's that good.
All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mickey. Have a good one.
Thank you.
I think it's still a ways away before we actually see something like that. We'll take one more before we bring the goat on. Actually, no, we're going to take goat less. Here we go. Let's do it. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, it's goat less. Hello, brother. How are you?
Oh, yeah, not bad, mate. Not bad. How are you fellas sailing?
Good. I'm pretty good, man.
Thank you for calling.
Doing pretty good. How's the weather out there?
Oh, well, it's been a fucking dry winter, I tell you now, and over the last couple of weeks, it's, first bit of spring, and it's been hot as hell, and we actually had a bit of rain in the last few days, so it's pretty fucking, pretty exciting.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds really exciting.
It does.
Yeah, bit of rain, mate.
It's starting
yeah.
to get cold here. All right, what's up? You got a good question this week?
Oh, yeah, I reckon it's all right. So you guys touched briefly upon this sort of topic before when Jeff mentioned, you know, the filler at DreamHack, the filler content between the games. Now, you know, when I was watching that, I was like, you know what, the chat's really loving it and all that shit. You could tell they're getting into it when, you know, there's some fucking weirdo, like, playing the Star Wars theme on a fucking piano or some shit.
Yeah.
But you know, I couldn't help but feel like, you know, it looked pretty unprofessional. I'm wondering if you guys think, you know, it's important to, you know, to look like it's a professional broadcast, you know, just any time, even if it's DreamHack, you know, just keep it within the realms of being professional. And I'm wondering if you guys think, what you guys think is the best sort of filler content, well, the best thing you can do is filler if you don't have, you know, short videos prepared and stuff like that, which is obviously what you'd really want.
That's a great question, I think. Go ahead,
I feel like North America and, like, MLG in specific is, like, known for doing, like, non-really weird, not professional stuff. But, like, in general, Europe seems to be the place for, like, I don't know, like cussing, like not like super, super uptight kind of stuff. So I feel like it just appeals to like a more casual audience. Like, I don't know. I feel like there's advantages and disadvantages for it. Like, I don't think MLG would ever do anything like playing what does the fuck say in a break. But yeah, I think DreamHack can get away with it and also run with it.
Yeah,
well,
what's
your opinion?
Well, I would add on this, like, there's, you know, we brought up culture before, right? And usually when we bring up culture, we're actually talking about how the Korean culture differs a lot. And so, you know, they think they like the American fans because we're loud and obnoxious when, you know, their fans for so many years have been very sort of like, they're not necessarily quiet, but, you know, the shy and reserved and sort of way. I do think that we also look at this issue and we realize that there is sort of a cultural difference, right? Like, there are some there are some freedoms that they have over there to be able to play things like Madonna's Like a Virgin with the, you know, and all of these other songs that, you know, MLG would not do. Right. So, you know, with that out there, I feel like it fits the activity because, you know, I guess it's like, I look at it like this. If I'm investing into an organization, I actually, you know, the content is somewhat important to me, but more important than the content is, are people watching it, right? So there are probably times where you've got this many numbers here and this many numbers here, and no one's even looking at what the actual content is. So by that sort of, if you take that into consideration, isn't it better that you're sort of speaking to the majority of the audience, or you're trying to entertain that majority of the audience? Maybe to some they view that as unprofessional, but to others they're like, hey, I'm having a good time, you know, here I'm watching it with all my friends, oh, this song's hilarious, like the chat is getting involved, and they embrace that, the Twitch culture and the online viewing culture that way because of the culture that they've always had at DreamHack. I don't have a problem with it. Is it different? Yeah. Would I love to see more people content? Of course, I think we all would. We'd rather have a talking head than a king, you know, or than a ton of commercials in a row or you know, just music videos stringed together. So I guess I'm kind of indifferent. Sometimes I feel like, whether it's StarCraft or Dota or League of Legends, you know, sometimes I feel like we take ourselves too seriously, and it's okay to have some fun. And that doesn't mean you have to drop F-bombs and go fucking crazy and whatnot, but it's okay to have fun. And I think that DreamHack, like, I mean, if you ever go over there, you ever meet the guys that run it, you'll understand even more why DreamHack is the way it is. Because they're guys that like to have fun. They work hard, but they also play hard. That's my thoughts.
Nice. Simpsons reference. I like this question a lot. I think it's really good because I think there's always going to be a legitimate argument on either side. And there's different styles and there's a middle ground. And it's really, it's kind of all over the place. And there is no perfect answer. I don't think what DreamHack does is perfect. On the flip side, I don't think what MLG does is perfect. And what I think is different from what he or she thinks, and that person has a family, and that guy's in college, that guy's 15 years old. I mean, it's so different. So I think it's a really cool question that way. For me, I have to agree with Wheat. Like, what would be perfect for a tournament is if a tournament had wall-to-wall filler content, like interviews and specials, you know, like ESL has attempted to do with, you know, players answering weird questions. But that video takes 15 seconds, because you wouldn't want it to go on for 10 minutes. That, too, doesn't make sense. But like that would be the perfect tournament where it's just like constant content coming at you. It's like really fresh, really unique, and it's not necessarily cool music. It's just different videos going all the time. But that's so hard to do. Leagues have tried this. You know, NASL even did this too, where they had interviews pumped in, they had specials pre-recorded and filmed, and they aired it. But on a certain level too, because they had such a need for content, some of their videos were from months ago. And that's okay, but people were like, I've seen this before. You know, I'm not that plugged in. So it's not perfect, and it's hard to do. But that's getting closer to it. The middle ground is something closer to what DreamHack did, which is like entertaining music, the occasional video, yes, commercials, but the music is what kind of, in the music videos, kept people laughing and nostalgic and having fun. And like we said, if you met the guys, you'd know that's not on accident. That's very much so on purpose. That's like part of their mission statement is we're European. We can get away with this. We're having fun. If you're not having fun with it, you know, something's wrong with you. You need to chill out. Like, let's have some fun. And then the other tier is like MLG, where the middle, like the stuff going on in between games is the cityscape, a sunset, a rainfall, a waterfall, or a rotating MLG emblem, or a Dr. Pepper house video, you know, where they blow up a house with cool stuff there. So that's what they would do. And for a lot of people, that's not necessarily what they would want either. So I don't really have a strict answer, I guess, but my long-winded thing would just be that I think it's interesting that people have different tastes and they should be open-minded to that. Because a lot of times when these tournaments roll around, too, it gets pretty negative and hateful about one versus the other. And I think the gold standard, what people should strive for, is to try and get as much StarCraft II content or fun gaming-related content in between games as they can, because that is what people are tuning in to find out, and that would be the most productive. And if you can't do that, then probably try to have fun without dropping too many absolutely rancid curse words, which nobody does. Like, even at DreamHack, where you can drop an F-bomb, nobody's sitting there saying, you know, C-U-N-T over and over again or something like that. Like, no one's taking advantage of it. So, in general, it's pretty okay. But you do, every time I'm at a DreamHack, I always do see the one or two guys that, like, email me or somebody at DreamHack and are like, hey, I love this show, and just putting this out there. They're usually pretty polite about it, but they're like, I just wanted you to know, I sat down, I had my daughter with me, my son, my wife, and then you said the S word. And we all got up, and we walked out, and we're never going to watch again. And we're always like, well, I'm sorry for you, but that's part of what we do. Robert actually tells me to cuss more. He's like, you're too much of a prude, Jeff.
Yeah,
you need to cuss more. And I'm like,
I think I've heard that too from him.
Told me to call the stage the penis stage. Like, they like that stuff, and I'm going to do what they like.
What do you think?
God, yeah, mate.
Well, what do you think? I mean, does that make sense as far as the DreamHack sort of going that way, and so that's kind of how they embrace their production, or what's your thoughts, Goatlust?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I could definitely see where they were coming from, and that, you know, those videos were sort of keeping people engaged to a certain level, and I just sort of looked at it from that side, and then I also saw it from the other side, and I was just wondering what you guys think. I think it is, like Jeff said, it's, you know, there is no real right answer between the two of them. I mean, the best thing is to get some StarCraft II related content up, you know, do those videos, but that's hard. It can't always happen. Yeah. So, yeah, thanks for answering my question, gentlemen.
Hey, thank you, sir.
All right. Appreciate you calling in.
All right, we'll see you next week. Peace. Word. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a show. One and done, start to finish. Any exciting stuff for you guys this week? Grand Theft Auto 5, practice, I don't... Anything?
The EG website is supposed to launch pretty soon, which is really exciting, because actually we've been waiting a couple of years. It's been a long, tough journey for this website. And a lot of people are like, what? EG website? You guys have a website. That has always been... like the skeletal idea of the website. Soon we're going to have this pimp nasty, just amazing one-stop everything EG. This is going to up our stream provider. It's going to, like, just, it's just ridiculous. It's unparalleled. There's no team that has a website like this. And I say that with confidence. Like, someone would say, what about Team Liquid? Well, the Team Liquid Pro section of Team Liquid is not even close to what you're about to see. So... yes, this website will be the best team website ever.
Ever?
Ever, forever.
Is that an announcement?
It's an announcement of a promise.
Okay.
Made on blood. If I'm wrong, Lebo will give up two of his limbs.
And they'll be testicles.
Those aren't limbs, Lebo. For you, they come close, but for the rest of us mere mortals, you're going to have to... give an arm or a leg, and then your testicles will become limbs, I imagine, if they're of that dexterous quality. Yeah, it's amazing.
It will happen, yes.
No, but joking aside, it's going to be an amazing website. I'm of the completely biased opinion that it is the best, but that'll be for you guys to decide. Outside of that, Wheat and I are doing role play on Saturday, Dark Heresy, which is fun, and a lot of people are like, that's too nerdy, I'll never check it out.
Oh my god.
Just check it out. It's cool guys hanging out, talking about blowing up monsters and laughing when we blow ourselves up and shit like that, and we have a good time.
I can't wait.
It's going to be fun, and it's rare for all of us to have a non-conflictual day, so this tune in while you can.
Yeah, right.
And then Sunday, we're doing the other role play. That'll all be on the Twitters. And then other things that are exciting, no, not really. I will say this. You know, I've been doing a lot of In Control announcement shit today, and I do apologize, but I'll say this.
It's okay.
I have 3 gigs lined up before the end of the year, and 2 of them take place in Europe, and I'm really excited. So you'll hear more about that fairly soon. But for right now, I'm happy because I get to work some awesome stages coming up.
Right on, man.
Boom.
Gosh, we got Live on 3 tomorrow, as Jeff mentioned. We've got Dark Heresy roleplay on Saturday. JP and I have 8 bits on Friday. I'm also doing Climbing the Ladder on Thursday, and I just realized that I will be on air every day this week. Look at that. Tonight, I'm going to be playing some games over on my stream if you want to come and join me. And I feel like I had one other thing I wanted to say, but now I'm just totally forgetting it, and I don't know. I forgot it. It's over. It's done with. Tomorrow, Live on 3. Thank you, Xenocider, for joining us yet again. We appreciate it. Suppy won versus the Muslim, right? And Demu's out.
And in 5 minutes, like literally 5 minutes, it was a 6-pool and then a 10-pool ban in the bus.
Damn.
Sick games.
Sickest games.
It's gotta be rough. We'll fly on that wall. All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to Inside the Game. We'll see you tomorrow for Live on 3, and have a good night. See you next time. We're out of here. Peace. Alright guys, we'll see you over on twitch.tv/DJWeet in a bit. Peace.